Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
This week, Kim and I have the pleasure of interviewing NBC affiliate Bloom Show host and former news anchor Gail Guajardo and her husband, Mark Pachowski, a successful CPA. Happily married now for 18 years, Gail and Mark have created a beautiful blended family. Gail already had two young girls when she and Mark got married, and then they had two more beautiful girls together. Tune in and find out how Mark and Gail discovered the secret to success in creating one big, happy family. We are so excited today to have this wonderful power couple from Tampa, Florida, our old hometown, Gail and Mark Pachowski. Welcome, and thanks for joining us on the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. We're so excited to have you here. And you guys are in our old hometown in Tampa, sunny Florida. Is it winter weather there today, or you got heat? What's going on in Tampa?
You can see it's practically glowing. The sun is coming through our back window so much. You know, it looks like we might be coming from heaven. Or, you know, it's beautiful. It's in the 60s. It's sunny. It's your typical Florida winter.
Okay, well, we won't talk about the gray overcast and 30 degrees up here in South Carolina.
Melted neckwear.
Yeah.
Really cold outside.
Thick sweater. No. We're so glad to have you guys here, and we welcome you to the podcast. And Gail, I've had the pleasure of working with you on your show, Bloom, on NBC in Tampa, and we've known you for a long time. Our daughters are close friends. What a great relationship, and it's fun to kind of get to know you guys a little deeper. And so what we really want to start off with today, we want to hear from both of you on this. And Mark, I'm going to ask if maybe you'll go first, if you're brave enough.
Of course.
We would love to know, what do you think makes you two a kick-ass couple?
Well, I think it's probably a hard answer to reflect, but I think it's a process of being together through the thick and the thin. And so we've been married for 18 years
together, 19.
And so I think in order to be a kick-ass couple, you have to have history together. Because if you're just a newlywed, I think everybody thinks they are a kick-ass couple when they're just starting to be journey through life. But I think the longer that you're married, you can then reflect on your history and look back and be like, wow, we had those great times. We had those maybe not so good times. And we endured through the whole process to where if you look at your whole body of work as being married through those years, you can reflect and say, wow, that was pretty cool that we were able to go through those years together. And I think that's what makes everybody a kick-ass couple.
Oh, that's a great answer. So right here, he's saying is it's thick and thin. It's everything together. Sure. It's not just wonderful highs. It's tough lows, but sticking through it no matter what it's been and keep coming on the other side better than you were. That's great. What would you add to that, Gail, if you...
You know, I think that I personally thought we were a kick-ass couple right from the beginning. But to Mark's point, this journey of life of raising, you know, four children, you know, I came to the marriage with two children, and they were basically like 3 and 4, teetering to 4 and 5 when Mark and I got married. And we have 2 children together, and we have been in a blended family now for the last 18 years. And even longer through our courtship, you know, he knew my older daughters, Katie and Lindsay, which you guys know Katie very well and Lindsay as well. But I just think that the life journeys together, I've never, ever felt alone. That's Marvel. She's chirping in about the marriage too. Yeah. But I've never felt alone, not through the dark times, not through, you know, obviously not through the good times. I've always felt like I've had a rock by me for, you know, this nearly 2-decade journey. And I think that's what makes us a kick-ass couple, because I think we really can count on each other no matter what. We're always there for each other.
I love that. I think that's awesome. One of the things that, Mark, that you mentioned was the history of a relationship. And one of the questions that I like to ask couples are about their history, their families of origin, and what love looked like when they were growing up. Because I really believe that we bring a lot of what we learned from our past to our present relationships. And so, Mark, what did love look like when you were growing up in your family?
So I think I was really fortunate. My parents met at a very young age in Miami, Florida, out of college, or a little bit in college. And they just fell in love and they got married and they've been together ever since. So it's a little bit of an anomaly, I think, and to look at that and say that that's the norm. But we grew up a very wholesome family, loving family, pretty straightforward. As you would expect in those times were, you know, the 70s, the 80s, and, you know, that generation just coming out of the Vietnam War and just starting their life together. And they worked very, very, very hard. I have an older sister, and it was very middle class, work hard ethic, but they were always together. They always loved each other. And even to this day, they're both still alive and they're still going. And it's exactly how they are today is when they were growing up. They just never have wavered through the thick and the thin of it. And they just love each other, and it works. So I was very fortunate to grow up in that environment.
How did you see them express love to each other? What did you witness?
I don't, you know, as growing up, I think you just witness that they're together and with everything that they do. And I think that you look at that as being, they love each other because, and they're not fighting. They're not arguing. It was very an easy, I would say, childhood relationship to see them because it seemed really normal. There was no drama. And so for me, I looked at that and been like, okay, that's normal, you know, cause that's what I was used to. But obviously, as we know, different people have different backgrounds and how they were brought up is very different. And so I would just look at them and think that that's normal, the way that they interact with each other and the way they respect each other. That's what made me think, okay, that's what love is.
How about you, Gail? How was love expressed?
So love was expressed very differently than Mark's family. And I'm very close to both of his parents, and they're incredible, wonderful people. And Mark was very close to my parents, who are both now deceased. But my parents were very different. They were met because they come from a very Italian family. We're third generation here in the Tampa Bay area. And, you know, back in the day, if one Italian, you know, hey, look at her, she's successful. And he's successful, you two should marry. And it was a little bit like that. And my mom was very much like a debutante, and my dad literally was a dairy farmer. And they both had these really great businesses, but they were so different. My mom was a protocol teacher. She taught manners. I'm still trying to figure all that stuff out. But, and my dad was running the largest dairy farm with his family in West Central Florida. And so they were very different. And in the Italian background, the men are always like, they're in charge, and the women kind of do what they are supposed to do. And they have these very traditional roles. So it wasn't as harmonious growing up. I saw that with my grandparents, but they were much older. But my parents showed love with their fun and their time that they spent together. They loved to dance. I mean, they both took up dancing. You know, they would hang out with us. I mean, it was not like hanging out with two old people. They were so young at heart. And so we saw love. They were very committed grandparents. So they showed love with familia. And when I say like it's hardcore Italian, family was everything to my parents. So while they would quarrel, they would just live and die for their children or their grandchildren and really each other. I mean, they died a year to the date of each other. One died July 8th, 2016, and one died July 8th, 2017. And so I think they missed each other. And I think their quarreling was their way of communicating. I didn't walk away with that lesson. I did walk away with the lesson of a love for family and a love for life and a love for being with my husband and spending time with him and doing fun things together. That was a big takeaway for me. But as a child, I did not like the arguing it wasn't the worst, but it just was a lot. It was a lot of tension. And so I just took the good and I just kind of put the what I didn't really enjoy growing up behind me.
So you recognized that and you knew in your heart that was just not something you wanted to bring to the relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Sure. And it's not to say that Mark and I never fight, but we really don't. We don't like yell and scream at each other. You know, we get together and we air it out and we say each other's piece and we understand what the other person's saying. And then we try to move on.
Yeah.
Great. So Gail, you have a little cheat sheet on Mark, unless you were kind of coaching him, because some of the work we've done together on Bloom, you know, all about the three C's. We have 14 pillars, right, that we kind of talk about, and we sent those to you guys, and Gail, you and I have talked about those before, but we're going to focus a little bit of our next few questions on those three C's. And the first of those three C's, which we really think is the cornerstone of every relationship, is commitment. So Gail, I'd love for you to start off and say, what does commitment look like in your relationship with Mark?
Commitment with Mark looks like a man that never doesn't show up. He always shows up in every aspect of my life. He shows up as the best husband, friend. He's definitely my best friend. He's the best partner. The best father. His commitment is it never wavers. And that's just what it seems to me. I almost get teary eyed. The commitment that he has is so strong that it is truly my number one pillar. It's what makes me feel more secure in life.
That's great. So you kind of shared a bunch of ways. You see it show up in not just your relationship, but in the other roles that he's playing in the relationship that you guys have together.
Yes.
That's great. How about you?
Absolutely.
How about you, Mark? When you think of commitment in your relationship, what kind of things do you see show up with you and Gail?
So I think the way I look at commitment is you're always there, and Gail's always there for, you know, not just myself, but we're parents. And so together we're like this united front trying to live our lives the best way that we can. And having a committed partner is they're engaged and they're doing the best that they possibly can with whatever scenario that we're living through in our lives. So I look at Gail as being 100% committed because she is. And I think a feeling also, you either have that feeling that that person is committed, or you got that pit in your stomach that they're not committed. It's just a feeling that I think of a sense that you can tell if your partner is committed or not just by that feeling, but then also backing up with actions. And just, I think being present is even more than half the battle. And then being engaging and loving, all goes through that commitment of, are they engaged? Are they not engaged? And I think, as Gail said, we've raised four daughters. We have to be committed towards each other because we have so much going on. You know, you have careers, you're raising four girls. It can be a lot. And so we need to be on a level committed with each other so we can be there for our family. And so you kind of see that day in, day out. And then over a long period of time, it's really easy to be like, yeah, I mean, we're committed to each other because that's what we've done this whole time that we've been together.
I love hearing you say that it's all that little actions that make you feel a certain way. And what I think that feeling is that you're feeling, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it's security, right?
Sure.
You're feeling security.
Sure.
You're feeling safe in that relationship because of all the little actions that equate to, I'm safe, I'm secure, this relationship is solid.
Absolutely. I mean, you just think of how many things that you have to rely on your partner. I mean, everybody has strengths. And so if you can play to those strengths, then as a couple, you're going to be even more strong together in your marriage. And so, yes, it's that always that feeling that if I need her, it's a call, it's a discussion, and she's always going to be there for me. And of course, I'm always going to be there for her. And when it works, it's like a waterfall. And then it just becomes easy because you're engaged, you know issues are going to happen, you solve them, and then you move on. You're never in conflict with each other. And that just makes everything so much easier to deal with.
Well said. Yeah. Commitment's a verb, right? And
sure.
I love what you said. It's a lot of little actions pulled together that build that foundation.
Sure.
So our next pillar is communication, and that's a big one. And I'm going to ask Gail to take this one first. But Gail, tell me a little bit about what communication looks like in your marriage and how you communicate. How do you find the time to communicate?
So for me, I don't really have an off switch. When it's up here, it comes out here, at least where Mark is concerned. So if something is going on, I'll literally just go to him. And, you know, to Mark's, you know, just to kind of circle back to what Mark said about the commitment side of him, you know, I come to this relationship, I'm not a very secure person as far as, and that's for probably a whole nother podcast, but just trusting in love has been hard for me over the years. And he's so sensitive to that. And he's so understanding of where that comes rooted from and why it bubbles to the top. So anytime I want to communicate to him, I just know I can say anything and he'll listen. And sometimes, you know, I might not say what we might not be on the same page. I can just think of one incident not too long ago that was pretty loud and clear that we were not on the same page, but because I could just go to him and just vomit out every single thing that was running through my head, just say everything and just say it and just say it till I just couldn't say anything else. And him just sit and listen and be like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I do not understand what you're saying because this is where I see it from. And he's so clear with his words and his feelings. And I'm like, oh, so basically that was in my head, or I was, you know, so I just think even when the time we can communicate at all times, if I'm not feeling good, I pick up the phone. This happened at work, or I'm not 100% sure I made the right decision on this. I can pick up the phone and call him anytime. He always answers or calls me right back. But even on the bigger ones, like I just mentioned, where I had feelings about something and they were emotional, it's okay. It's okay to trust that you can say something to him and he's not going to stay mad or not talk to me or, you know, turn a cold shoulder to me. Like he just listens and we communicate and we hash it out right then and there. And that's what I love about him most is just being able to tell him anything.
So I hear you saying that he provides a really safe space for you to be vulnerable.
Yes, very much so.
And I think as a woman, that speaks volumes, right? Because
yeah.
we have to talk it out. We've got to say it. It's got to come out. And when it does, yes. We feel so much better.
Yeah.
And just being able to do that and know that you're in a space where you are free to say whatever you need to say is, I think, so important. It means everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Mark? Tell me how you communicate with Gail and what that looks like. So you have this vortex, you're busy with work, you're busy with kids, and there's a lot going on in your lives. How do you find time to communicate with her?
So my background is I was a CPA. And so the way my mind works is pretty black and white and problem solving. So, and it kind of goes both ways. And the way I communicate is there's an issue. We need to figure this out. We need to make a decision and we need to move on. So a lot of my communication is a little bit, I don't want to say rigid or dry, but it's more of a problem, solve it, move on. And when she communicates with me, whatever she's trying to describe, my mind is still thinking, okay, what's the problem? How do we solve it? How do we move on? And that's just the way I think. Now, that might take a little while to get her to, you know, go through the whole story or whatnot.
Because I'm long-winded, Daisy.
Because you're a little long-winded. But that's fine. But my mind is thinking, okay, if I'm upset, I need to let her know why I'm upset about whatever issue may be, whether it be home or work or whatever. And then figure it out and move on. But that's just the way my mind works. And I think also, although she's got a different personality than I do, it still works well, because although she might, you know, be venting or we're talking about a lot of different things, I still think every emotional thought you have leads into what's the solution? What are we going to do now that we've kind of aired this out of maybe a problem that we're having or some outside influence? There's always the next step is some type of solution. And so that's just the way my mind works. So when I'm communicating, I'm trying to get an answer from her, whether it's, you know, what paint color do you like? You know, so I'm asking her questions. So to get her opinion, because I want to know the answer, and then I want to move on. And so I try to communicate the way I think in my mind. And that's just the way I'm built and structured.
So it sounds like you're really direct.
Yep. Very direct. Very direct.
How does that work for you, Gail? Do you want him to solve the issues?
I do. I mean, he's very logical. He makes a lot of sense. And he is very black and white, and I'm very whimsical. And, you know, I like to look at things through the other person's lens and what are they thinking and what da-da-da. And Mark is not that way. And so I think, you know, he'll listen to my more woo-woo style of thinking. And, you know, because I'll be like, oh, let's look at the spiritual side of this, or let's look at it, just from different angles. And Mark is just black and white. And I think he's now over the course been able to take, he understands how I think, he understands how my mind works, and he's able to fit it into his columns. And we always seem to find a way out. There's always a way. I love the fact that there's always a solution. And it works. I mean, it's hard to explain, but it's like a blend.
Or what I hear also is maybe a third alternative, right? I think a lot of people sometimes get stuck in, hey, this is my narrative, that's your narrative, and who's going to win, or whose narrative are we going to follow? When I hear you talk about blending, it seems like you have both learned how to take the best of what each other has to offer and figure out how do you move forward from there, which is a great respect of a little bit of, you're not giving up of yourself, but you're learning how to respect the style of the person that you're committed to. And that's commendable. And I think it's, you know, that third alternative, right? It's never just A and B. There's always a C or even a D, and you just have to be willing to maybe let go of that agenda. And it sounds like you guys have figured that dance out after just a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's like, it's really easy to get in the weeds with different issues or problems, maybe as a couple. And sometimes we're talking and we're discussing things back and forth. And then you're like, what does this even mean? It's not even relevant. Like, our lives are great. Our kids are great. You know, you start to self-reflect, and then some of that in the weeds kind of just really goes away a lot. So I know everybody has, you know, challenging things that they have to overcome, but maybe just taking a step back, and we do it,
all the time
and just be like, why is this even like stressing us out?
Yeah. We always try to regroup of what we're grateful for in each other, in our lives, of what we've built. And I think once you change it immediate to gratitude, it just, should I go let her out?
Whatever you guys want. She can be in. That's Marvel, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's Marvel.
That's the way
Marvel has to tinkle. Okay, I'll be right back.
Give a girl what she needs. Come
that's
on. Right.
I know. That's the other girl that we're a part with the family. So there's a lot of
girls.
So
another girl. I'm surprised it's a female dog. I really am.
Are you? Mark. You think these girls would let me get a male dog? You kidding?
That is the running joke. He's got so many women around him.
Well, so that's interesting. I mean, I kind of want to ask a little follow-up question based on that. So, Mark, there's definitely a difference in communication style between people, but also male and female. I mean, there's a lot of stereotypes, and I'm not one to accept stereotypes, but you're in an all women household.
A lot of women.
A lot of women. Four girls, a wife, and then Marvel.
A female dog.
So how do you, how have you been able to deal with that and still be effective? In for example, we're talking about communication right now, right? So what have you had to learn to be most effective in not just the relationship with Gail, but obviously in that family full of women? Any tips that you can share with us? Aha moments?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. I mean, to have a bunch of daughters than probably a bunch of sons. Sometimes I think, just like we went through, like you're trying to solve a problem, sometimes they're not, you know, they're just expressing themselves and they just need to express themselves. And so it's hard. I mean, your thought process one way, and if somebody's upset, one of our daughters upset, I'm thinking, what's the solution? What do I need to do to fix it? And Gail would go and talk to them, and that's the fix. Like, that's it. Like, they just want to be heard, because they want to talk about whatever is bothering them. She's much better at that than I am. And so,
you're good at it. He's selling himself short. There's like, if there's like a major crisis, they'll call him first, and I'll be like, wait a minute. Like, all four of them are like, this happened. And I'm like, and I kind of take the role of like, when they're super emotional, I'll try to go down into the rabbit hole and sit with them. And it's something I've tried to learn along the way, just to sit and hear what they got to say. And they have a lot to say, just like I have a lot to say. And then sometimes I'll go to him and I'll ask him, hey, what do you think I should do? And we talk about things in private. And then, so he communicates with them, I think, really well. Yeah. Like, he's very open to listening to them. And I think because he's been an influence in their life, that they'll always look for good men, because he's just that guy that's always there to hear them and solve the problem.
Yeah,
or help them solve the problem.
They do kind of know when to come to me and when to come to Gail. I'll be like, oh, I heard from Lindsay. She needs this, this, and this. And it's things that I can take care of. And then sometimes she's just going to Gail. So I guess you just try to balance that. And I mean, obviously every kid has maybe a relationship different with their mother or their father. And so you both want to be involved, but you just want to make sure that whatever parent is the majority of the person involved with whatever situation they're going through, it's the one that they want to talk to, or the one that they can relate the best of any situation. it's all hands on deck.
Sure. Okay. When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now. Well, so we're going to kind of lead into that third pillar we mentioned earlier, conflict resolution. So, Gail, I know that, you know, I know there's always rainbows and sunshine, and there's never any dark clouds in the relationship. But when conflicts might try to sneak up or peek out, how do you guys deal with it? So when there is that disagreement, when there is a differing of opinion on whether it's work or the kids or family or whatever it might be, what have you guys done to navigate those waters of conflict with each other?
You know, I think in a nice way, we call each other out on it. You know, like I get scattered and I'm bad at returning emails and I put too much on my plate and I don't get around to things as efficiently as I should, because I'll be yes, 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 yes to everything and everyone. And Mark will be like, hey, and just like walk in the room. Yeah. Hey, you know, so-and-so has been emailing you and we got to get an answer on this. And you're really starting to worry me that we're not going to move this project forward or this isn't going to happen because you're not paying attention. And I need you to like focus.
So, tune in.
Yeah.
Girl.
So Mark will be like, you take on too many things. You say yes to everybody and this isn't moving forward. And I literally will like, I think the biggest thing that we try to do is like, I'll stop. And I'm like, oh, I hate to admit it, but he's right. And so, you know, I'll try to recalibrate and, you know, same with him. I'll just walk in the room and say, hey, I got a problem and this is what it is. And most of the time he'll be like, I don't think that's a problem, or you're being ridiculous or something like that. But we just are like a dog with a bone, I think, until we get the conflict resolved. Wouldn't you say that that's the case?
I would. I mean, I think, we're talking about issues that come up and those could be a lot of different things in people's lives. And I think it's a matter of just trying to figure out the other person's point of view and what's going on and making a decision that we think is the right one together.
Yeah.
And nobody really digging their heels in with any one topic. And I think we do a really good job of, we figure it out, we talk it over, and we kind of move on, because there's a lot going on. Like I said, with the kids, with the work,
But in the interest of full disclosure, I definitely am the one that I'll get hung up on something. Sure. And like, for example, I just like Mark and I, like I crave that constant, like I crave a lot of attention from Mark and I get a lot of attention from Mark, but then I'll be like, I'm not getting enough attention. And so like, sometimes they're like, sometimes it'll be things that will, like I was saying earlier, that might bubble to the top with me and they will be almost pattern-like. But even with those things, I think we've learned to just go in and just throw out the feelings. Like I was saying earlier, just sometimes we might not want to hear how the other one's feeling, because it's a wake-up call to me that I'm not organized enough or I don't manage my time well enough. And sometimes I'll sell Mark stuff, but whatever it is, I think the answer to your question is the constant just throwing it out there. Cause I think the more, and that's maybe the Italian part that I brought to the table from my parents, is that we don't fight, but there's definitely not anything that stays inside and bruised for very long. And so I think that's how we communicate and argue.
I think it's also, you know, conflict among, you know, two people is, can really come off the rails depending on what their actions are. So if I was staying out late at night, all night on,
which you would never do,
which I would never do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there is going to be a lot of conflict in our relationship. So if you're in a box that you're both dedicated towards and you're always present and you're always with each other,
there's not a lot of conflict.
There's not a lot of conflict.
Yeah, we really don't. I mean, we're not rainbows and unicorns, but we really try so hard to show up in a way that we know the other person has expectations of, and vice versa, that we don't leave a lot of room for conflict. I mean, like when I tell you that I'm needy of love, it's not because he's not giving it to me or he's somewhere else or whatever. That's just back to Gail's insecurities. But for the most part, I think, you know, I just know how he's going to want things, or how, you know, I think understanding our languages of love, like what the other person thrives off of, and constantly feeding that, it just takes out. And I hate conflict more than anything in the world. And so I think we kind of live our lives to try to not avoid it by ignoring it, but just by managing it constantly and not letting it get out of control. I think that's what we do, how we manage conflict, is we just manage it. We put out these fires right when they're happening.
And so what I hear you saying is that you are constantly in communication with each other when there are issues, when conflict does arise, so that there are no really huge blowups ever.
Sure.
Right. And this boils down to the little things, like, you know, like I'm going to just make sure, because I know I'm going to have a busy day and he's going to be picking up slack for me and I don't want him to get frustrated. So I'll try to tee up the house. I unload the dishwasher, do this, do that before I leave. Like, we try to do things for the other person so that if one of us has to throw weight on the other on one day and it could get aggravating, or, you know, or like with me again, it brought back to, you know, you've committed to that, or you're going to go MC that. And, you know, like, but I'm like, okay, let me take off his plate so that when he does step in and vice versa, you know, we've got it covered. Like we've tried to balance the scales before the scales go off balance.
Sure. And a term I heard both of you guys say in each of your descriptions is understanding. And with conflict, really, you know, Stephen Covey says, seek first to understand. If you don't understand why your partner or your spouse feels that way, or where they're coming from, or what brought them to that point, you're not going to be on the same page. And you both talked about getting the understanding and figuring it out. Why is it important? Why does this bother them? Why is this an issue for them? And then how can I best support you? And Gail, you gave a great example about, man, you know, I know that if he's stepping up to be there for me, then I got to try to step up and be there for him. And it's a desire. It's not quid pro quo. It's not like, I didn't hear you say, I have to do it because he did it for me. You're saying you want to do it because you want to clear the decks a little if you can, because he's doing the same thing for you. And it's that's a great dance. And I appreciate the whole idea of really finding that understanding. You know, it's like, what's the dream within the conflict? Like, why does this really matter to them? It's not about, you know, it's not about that she's emceeing yet another event. It's that she forgot to do something else, or right. And so
right.
You kind of figure out what's the real issue there. And it sounds like you guys have figured out a way to do that. And then Gail too, you said, you know, take care of the things when they're little. We've kind of heard that before. Brad White, a pastor, goes, man, unless you want to become a full-blown dumpster fire, you got to deal with stuff as it comes up, right? Because sure. If you don't, it festers or brews, like you said, sure. And then it's really hard to control. And I think that's wonderful advice, is to figure out, how do we handle the small things now so they don't become big things later?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we have 14 pillars that we believe it takes to make a successful relationship. We just talked about the first three. Do you have the list of the 14 pillars?
I do.
So, Mark, of the remainder of the pillars, is there one that really resonates with you, one that stands out to you? And if so, tell me a little bit about why.
The one I think is what I would consider the most important is trust and honesty. Because if you don't have trust and honesty with somebody that you're married to or you're in a relationship with, the rest can't, I don't believe, can happen without trust and honesty. It's almost like it's a foundation, you know, just like a foundation of a house. If you don't have trust and honesty, I guess you could have fun and humor, but it's not going to be, you're not going to have that unity. You're not going to have selfishness, lasting love. You're not going to have any of those others. So first and foremost, I think you have to have trust and honesty, and then you can build, then all, I think all of these others come along with it. But I think it's really hard to be in a relationship that you're not honest or you don't trust the person that you're with. Well, so that, I would think that's the most important in my mind.
How about you, Gail? Is there one that really stands out or resonates with you?
I totally agree with Mark on the trust and honesty, but then I also glancing down the list, and I really am into appreciation, because I feel again that I'm so very lucky to be in a trusting and honest relationship and a committed relationship. And I try to like not let a day go by that I don't recognize that. And I feel the same, you know, about our kids. I get up and I'm grateful for our family and all that we have, but I'm just so appreciative that this is what it is, that I work to keep it intact all the time. Cause that's what you would do. You would serve whatever you're appreciative for. Like you appreciate it. I think that if you stop appreciating something, then you don't realize how dear it is to your heart and soul.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well said. I love that. So you may have heard the expression that success in one area of your life kind of bleeds or spills over into another. And Kim and I are big believers in what we call spillover thinking. And in other words, you guys have a solid relationship. We have a solid relationship. And we think the good that's in that relationship is the center of our lives, and it spills over into other areas. I'd love to hear from each of you. How do you see or feel the goodness of your relationship has spilled over into other areas of your life?
Can I start with that one?
Go for it.
So I believe that by sticking on these pillars, which we, you know, have read over, and we definitely agree with all 14 pillars, I think the strong relationship has allowed us to grow professionally in a way that I'm not sure that we would have been able to grow apart from each other. I think we both would have done well in life, but I think that constant lifting has helped us find what we love to do, be successful at what we do, and then turn around and share whatever abundance there is in life with our children and our family. And, you know, and to try to not just, oh, we're going to build up our fancy careers and whatever, but take all of our hard work and reinvest it into our lives and our family and our personal growth together. And I think that it's helped us just, I think it's helped us both thrive professionally. And it's not like to say like we're the, you know, our salaries are over the top rock starry, but we have grown together so much more than I think we would have grown. I mean, I think we're successful together and successful separately, and then it helps us build a better life together.
Yeah, I would agree. It's you mentioned the personal life, and we talked a lot about the personal life, but then when you go to work, or you're working towards a common goal. So it becomes easier. Not the work, or just the mindset of I want to succeed because I have a wife, or I have children, I have responsibilities. So when you have, a good marriage, you really want that support, because work is challenging. I mean, everybody is trying to make it through this world, and work is a big part of that. And so if you have a stable home, it just, I believe, puts you in a better mindset to be successful at work. If your home life is chaotic and toxic and it's just not, all these pillars are not present, it would be really hard to go to work every day.
Or to set goals together that you want to achieve together or dream together. You know, a lot of like, you know, you look back and we have so many dreams together, and then you wake up one day and you're like, that dream came true. Like, it might've taken years. It might've taken 5, 10, but everything we've ever dreamed about and everything that we put in our, like, we don't have an actual vision board, but our vision board as a couple, those visions tend to come to fruition more together than it would ever happen apart. I know certain in my heart that I wouldn't be where I am today in life without Mark. I can say that 110%. There's not a doubt in my mind. And I hope you feel the same way, because
sure,
you know, that I couldn't have done it without him.
That's great stuff for our listeners, because when you feel that way about each other and you're expressing that within your family, it can't help but overflow into everything else that you do. It's just, it's infectious that way, right?
It is. It really, really is.
Absolutely. Because you, once you walk out the door of your house, it's not like you leave all your problems at home. You're that person, you're going to work and you're interacting with coworkers and everybody has a boss. It's the same thing that if your work life is very traumatic or it's not where you want to be and things are not right in the work life, that can easily bleed into the home life. And so if you have a good balance at home, I think you're going to be more successful together in the workplace and in whatever career that you want to undertake. And if you have that support, I think it just makes it so much easier.
And I also love hearing that you each like to grow and be independent of each other and successful on your own. And then coming together, it just makes it so much stronger or more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. It does. It definitely does. And, you know, I must call Mark about at least 5-6 times a day. Don't tell my bosses from work, you know,
or mine.
Or his. You were asking us earlier, like finding that balance with it. We do keep that constant, like even if they're just bites or nuggets conversations or text or whatever. It's like the kids even make fun of us. We stay pretty much in communication. Sure. all day long. Yeah. So that makes it easier to blend our work life love scenario together.
Absolutely. All right. I have a fun question for you. And that is, if you, Gail, had to go back to your unmarried self, put your hands on your shoulders and ask yourself, what would I do differently? What piece of advice could you give to yourself that you would give your unmarried self, knowing what you know right now?
So if I could give advice to my unmarried self, yes, I would say 100% to, know when you do reach the point of getting into a relationship and you're going to take this leap of faith, to really go to your soul, your heart and your soul and your gut, really, about why it is that you're with this person. You know, the characteristics, what's important to you, like what's on the paper right here, the 14 pillars, because if you do it for any other reason than just raw authenticity and genuine love, then it's just not going to work. And, you know, I think anytime somebody has gone through, you know, a breakup in life, you know, you realize what pain you brought and the other person, you realize that, you learn from that. But I would just say that if you go into something with the right reasons, and really know that person down to the core, that it's going to be a good life. It's going to be a good life. And if there's any hair standing on the back of your neck, don't do it. You know, only do it when you know, only make a move when you know it's the right move to make. Because if not, it'll just be a disaster, and it'll leave you, you know, it leaves a lot of hurt and pain in the wake.
Sure. How about you, Mark? If you had to give advice to your unmarried self, what would it be?
I probably would go along the vein of just, you know, marriage is supposedly, it's supposed to be a lifetime commitment. And so whoever you're dating or considering marrying, that you really look out for any signs that, and it's hard, that this might not be the right fit for you. And to just take things, you know, slower, and things will come your way eventually. So there's no rush. I mean, obviously there's no rush to get married. And this is me, my unmarried self, telling myself this. And you really want it to be a thoughtful decision. And maybe some of those emotions need to be put aside, and you just reflect and say, is this really who I want to spend the rest of my life with? Now, you could still go through all of those decision-making process and marry somebody that either turns out to be what Gail and I have in our relationship, or it doesn't. But if you're making a good faith effort, then everything, I think, is going to be okay.
Yeah, I think if you're really raw with that person in the upfront, and they can accept the real you, like you're not putting on pretenses or trying to be something that you're not to seal the deal. I think if you let them see that vulnerability and that rawness inside of you, and if they're okay with that, then you know the cards are on the table.
Sure.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for the pearls and the sharing and giving us a peek under the hood, behind the curtain of what goes on in that relationship. We are grateful to you all. And if somebody wants to find out more about you guys, what you do in your careers, or where to find you, Mark, how would they connect with you or learn more about you and what you're doing?
Give my
yeah, sure.
My email address is my full name, markpichowski@yahoo.com. And anybody can contact me with any questions.
Now, if you have any surety bonding questions or
no, this is related.
No, just kidding.
But you know, we all have friends, and we all have friends in different stages of relationships. And I think if anybody needs a friend, maybe outside of their group, that needs ask a question or help or anything, it's always good to phone a friend, and anybody can contact me anytime they want.
That's very generous and kind. Gail, how about if people want to learn more about you and what you're doing?
My married name is Pichowski, but before I got my maiden name, which is when I started my career, is Guaiardo, and they cut all the vowels out of my long Italian name, so it's easy to find. It's like a guy. Ardo. So it's Guyardo. My first name, Gail, Gayle. And, you know, that's where I am on all social media. And I hope, you know, I do a health and wellness show. And if anybody, you know, Matthew's been on several times, and, you know, we've been exposing all the great things that Kim and Matt, do. And so if anybody has stories, I'd love to share them. We connect via Zoom. We connect here in person in Tampa. So we'd love to meet anyone that has anything to do with overall health and wellness, because that can be relationships, money, you know, your body. It could be anything. So definitely look me up.
Terrific.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank both of you for your authenticity and for showing up today. We're really grateful that you were able to be with us and share all of the good pearls that you have, and wisdom as well, from your relationship with our
with all of our guests.
A lot of great knowledge. Thank you for your time. We look forward to connecting with you guys again soon.
Great. Thanks, guys. So it's been fun.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.